get started. Stephen is the founder of Victoria Ventures and Victoria Business Angels, the most active angel network in East Africa. He wears many hats as a lecturer, an angel, entrepreneur, and someone contributing to the startup ecosystem in East Africa. Very excited to welcome him. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the BOMA.
Hey, Stephen.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much. Really glad to be here. Maybe just one thing on the intro is, you know, we have been the most active angel network, but I think the ecosystem is changing so fast. There's someone giving us a run for our money already. Naiban is giving us a run for our money, but really excited about the developments happening in the ecosystem.
Gotcha. Who are some of the organizations that are giving you a run for your money in terms of taking that active crown from you?
Yeah, I mean, so angel investing is unfolding quite a bit in the continent. And so you have the likes of Nairobi Business Angels Network, who came out of a program that we set up called the Africa Angel Academy. And, you know, they've come out and they've done quite a number of deals and so forth, and really excited about that. We have been slow around that, but I think we're getting there. I think there's also guys like Futures Africa that are doing it from a continent perspective, not only looking at Kenya, but looking across the entire continent, who, if I'm not wrong, they're probably the most active investor in the continent so far. So there's a number of interesting organizations that are coming on board, putting a group of investors, syndicating deals, and doing it really fast.
Gotcha. And I guess a rising tide lifts all ships, or?
Yes, it's rising tide. But rising tide is, in my experience, is more active in West Africa. They've not done as much in East Africa, at least in Kenya. In Kenya, the major players is Nairobi Business Angels Network, and then there's ourselves, Victoria Business Angels Network. And then, of course, there's the continent players who are playing from that level, but not necessarily just making investments in one country, making across the continent.
So there's actually an organization called Rising Tide.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, okay.
Rising Tide is...
okay, that's cool. That's cool.
It's called the Rising Tide.
Okay, good name there.
That's an excellent name.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I should say something about them. So Rising Tide, I think the person behind that is Yemi Kerry. And what Yemi has done together with the other co-founders, it's a group of women-only angel investors. And they make investments in mostly female-founded startups, or at least where there's a co-founder that's a lady. And they started out of Nigeria, and they've done quite a bit of investments across the continent. As far as I understand, they're not only the continent. I think they're also across the globe, but at least the African chapter started out of Lagos in Nigeria.
So, Stephen, tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how you got into it, how long you've been doing it. Give our listeners just a little bit of background information into what occupies your day to day.
Yeah, so good question. So what we're doing, when I looked at the questions you shared with me, I sort of like thought about it, and I said, really what I do is I connect entrepreneurs with investors. To improve their chances of being successful, because then they're able to raise funding. And then I work with investors to improve the outcomes of the investments they make. So, I mean, that's sort of like pathway. So I work with early stage companies. I also work with later stage companies. And really how I do this is that, first of all, I help establish Victoria Business Network. And, so far we've done, 10 deals and, deployed, I think, $1 million, and those companies have raised some additional cash out of that. Then I also, work with investors from a training perspective. Victoria Business Angels Network helped to found the Africa Angel Academy. And the Africa Angel Academy has trained over 400 angel investors who now are making investments from across the continent. And these angel investors are from, multiple African countries. I can't remember how many countries so far, but over 10 countries already, which are represented in the cohorts that we've been part of. And then, on top of that, then I do advisory related work. And I believe the advisory work goes towards reducing the friction, because, you can train, you can make some investments, but when you're sort of like working with many more people and trying to support in terms of that journey, there's always a lot of friction that happens there. So when you consult, then you try to address some of those things. And that could be, it's valuation, it's due diligence, it's, whatever it might be. So that's what I do. I think in a quick summary for us.
That's pretty cool. So, Stephen, tell us, why did you get into this? Why are you doing what you're doing? What's driving you to be so involved in the ecosystem end to end?
I wish I could tell you that when I was born, I just thought about the continent and I was like, this is what I want to do. But it's, I think it's been one step after the other, right? I started out my career in asset management. I used to work for a big asset manager in East Africa. And I remember when I was doing that, investing the listed company in the stock exchange, you know, the typical sort of like safe security. And I got to this point where I didn't feel as though I was having as much impact. It wasn't as exciting. And the word I used then, I remember, is I wanted to get my hands a bit more dirty. And so, you know, did my MBA, then came back to Kenya and started working with entrepreneurs just to support them in terms of just, you know, just coaching. And maybe if I start there, because this is an interesting point, I got a scholarship to go do my MBA. And so I felt this need to sort of like give back. And so then when I came back, in fact, during the MBA, I actually would spend some time every Friday or something, I would spend some time just coaching entrepreneurs in different incubators. Now, I have to say that I'm really sorry to those entrepreneurs because I might have caused more deaths at that point for entrepreneurs. I didn't know anything about being an entrepreneur, and yet I was coaching entrepreneurs about being an entrepreneur, finance and so forth. The situation has changed now. But then aside from that point, so like that point of you want to give back to a certain extent, and then from then onwards, sort of like kept addressing one challenge, realizing that then that was not a big problem, then going to the next problem and so forth. And, you know, we started training and coaching entrepreneurs when I came back, you know, as part of what I was doing. But then you get to this point where you realize coaching and training entrepreneurs is just one thing and it doesn't address the challenges they have. Funding is where the issues are. And so then you say, okay, let's attack the funding issue. And when you start out, you think it's a very easy problem that you're solving. Till you get started and realize it's very multi-layered. There's so many things about that problem and how you're going to be able to sort it out. And so then from that point, we decided to build the angel network, which then we've been building for a period of time. Then you realize that you're doing this just in Kenya and you have the content that you've been able to put and you've learned a few things. And then what do you do from a continent perspective? So we ended up then putting the Africa Angel Academy together, which has trained quite a number of angels. I should also mention that I was invited to sit in the board of the Africa Business Angels Network, and I just finished my term last year. And during that, Jan, you learned so much about the continent and the way the challenges that we have are very similar, of course, at different scales also. But then you want to just try and support from that perspective. So I'd say my journey has been one of those that you figure out one thing, then you realize actually there's a bigger problem, you go for that, and then a bigger problem, then you go for that, and so forth.
Gotcha. And Stephen, building out an entrepreneurial ecosystem in Kenya or across Africa, which it sounds like you're doing, is probably different than building out an entrepreneurial ecosystem in New York City or in London or in Silicon Valley. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've had to implement specific strategies tailored to the places in which you work to cultivate the ecosystem that you've participated in? How has that strategy been different than what it might be in a place like the UK or in the US?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one that causes a bit of reflection. What comes to mind is when you're doing things in the continent most often, apart from a few countries where probably the government is doing a lot of the supporting, like Rwanda, most of the rest of the continent, it's really down to the people who see the problem and they feel the need to want to address that problem, right? So you find that, you know, regulation, you know, support from the government from a funding perspective, and so that doesn't exist. And so what you have to do then is to look for other people who are trying to solve the same kind of problem and try to work together to start doing something until the point where then the government becomes more interested or it becomes more interesting to solve that problem and more people sort of like start jumping to that bandwagon. It's almost like the early adopters to a certain extent. And I think that's probably the key difference if you ask me. And from there, then there's so many things. And even when you speak to entrepreneurs, they'll tell you the same thing. You know, they see problems and they want to solve those problems and they wish they could get a certain level of support. You know, funding would be easier for them. Recreation would be easier for them, but they have to figure out how to address some of those things. And it takes a bit of time for those things to be addressed. But the thing I have to say is the government, you know, the government does not stand on your way, right? It doesn't stand in your way. It's just that they don't offer the support. And what I find is, if there's a problem that's big enough to be solved, you'll always find there's other people who see that it is a problem. And all you have to do is then to find those common people and then start working with them. And the other people will join that journey over a period of time. So that's how I would characterize solving some of the challenges and trying to build out some of the ecosystems in the continent. It takes specific people who see the problem and they see that they want to try and address some of those challenges.
Awesome. You've spoken a little bit about some of the challenges and how you've gotten in, into the ecosystem, your own journey. In terms of growing and what you're trying to do at Victoria Ventures, you know, what's your strategy? How are you going about it? And how do you keep the momentum that you're going and get even bigger?
So I should also mention that, you know, I work under Victoria Ventures, but I also do some work under University of Africa. And nowadays I'm trying to leave no Google behind. I'll tell you why I say that. Because I also realize that we exist in a continuum where the same challenges you see with early stage entrepreneurs, at times even with later stage entrepreneurs, they each face the same challenges. We have an entity that focuses on that. But focusing on, you know, Victoria Ventures and what we're trying to do, I think for us, in terms of creating momentum and where we're going, what has happened in the ecosystem that I've really liked is that there's much more support that's coming in right now. There's a lot of development partners who've come on board. We're trying to address different challenges, whether it's angel training, whether it's about thinking about, you know, how do you support angel investors to be able to make investment, whether it's entrepreneurship support organizations. So it's good to recognize that if you roll the clock back probably like, what, 10 years and roll it forward now 10 years, there's many more actors who are interested in the African ecosystem and trying to support that. Also on the individual front, there's many more people who've seen success. Paystack was a deal that was invested in South Africa, in Nigeria, interest exit at $200 million. People start hearing those stories and start getting invited. So you're no longer having to do as much preaching as you used to. At least you're preaching with evidence where you can show this has happened in this ecosystem and so forth. And people then are following with that. On top of that, I feel that, you know, I mentioned that Naiban is one of the other angel networks that has spawned in Kenya. The fact that you also have other players who are trying to do the same thing, there's a certain level of, you're not addressing the problem by yourself. And people are seeing that, wow, if there's someone else who's trying to do this, probably there's something towards, angel investing and so forth. So I'd say that from our side, you know, we keep doing what we've been doing, where it's, you know, let's have the angel network making investments into, you know, as many startups, you know, within the country, within the continent at the moment. You know, let's keep on supporting entrepreneurs through the different entrepreneurship support programs that we are involved in and linking them to the angel investors. We keep doing that every single day. And you know, the training aspect keeps going because that's where we plant the seed. Once you plant the seed, then people then start generally getting curious and then they follow up in terms of making investments much later.
And Stephen, you just mentioned planting seeds. And so when those seeds hopefully germinate and turn into beautiful flowers or trees, what will those trees or flowers look like, to continue with the analogy? Essentially, what will success look like for you? As you project into the future.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I spend a lot of time asking myself that, what's success to me? And unfortunately, I don't have a big, hairy, audacious goal. But, you know, I want to make sure that we have, I don't know, 1 million angels in the continent by the year 2030 or something. I don't have anything like that. I see success more from, you know, and I ask this question, I said, when I look at my daughters, I wonder the kind of continent they'll be living in, right? And for me, success is my daughters when they sort of like come out of school and they want to be entrepreneurs and they go out to the markets. I'd like them to have an easier journey than the entrepreneurs or even myself have been having. I like them, if they want to go and raise funding, I want them to have options. And I want no one to question whether they can do it because it's been done so many times. You know, if you go to the, you know, developed ecosystems, if you say you want to do something, people ask you, can you really do it? They just say, okay, you're an entrepreneur. We've seen many entrepreneurs doing it. So you just do it. And the question is not, can you do it? Is can we support you to be able to do it? Or does it make sense what you're trying to do? So I like them to have an easier journey to be able to address some of those things. And it's all about how do we get us to a point where we can start addressing the challenges we have in the continent as easily as we should be. And we're not constrained by capital, by legislation, by, you know, government policy. For me, that's what success is. Because if you ask me, based on where we started, where we're at, we've achieved a certain level of success, but we're still very far from that kind of ideal world that I'm talking about.
Mm. So, speaking about that success and that ideal world, you've raised some of the barriers. What would you say is the biggest barrier or challenge that we face in getting there and leapfrogging and making leaps and bounds?
Yeah, I think I mentioned a couple of them. For me, the challenges I see are more macro, right? Of course, you could speak about so many other, but the macro aspects for me, if we can address those, that helps us to move. And I'll give some examples in this case. I want to get to a point where, you know, for instance, the government in Kenya, now we have something called the Hustler Fund, and one of the components is the Startup Fund, where that starts co-investing with angel investors just to make things easier, or tries to address the gap that exists before an entrepreneur is able to raise formal capital. Maybe they get some money and government becomes the first risk taker, right? Because there's so many people who are waiting for a startup that has traction. But to build that startup, you need people to take that risk, and we don't have that. You know, I want a situation where, you know, and I'm talking a lot from the investor's perspective because I think investors can address quite a number of these challenges, where it's, as an angel investor, you have an environment where, you know, if you make your investments and, you know, things don't work out, maybe you have a fast loss mechanism in this case, which encourages many more people to become angel investors. Because if you look at the challenges of the continent, they're going to be addressed. Of course, there's a lot of resources that need to come to address that from a cash perspective, from a time perspective, from a, whatever you might call it. But you can't expect that to come from outside. I think it's going to come from me and you. And we need to ensure that, you know, the normal person on the street, the middle-class person, you know, they believe that they're part of that solution and they can participate in that. And I really believe that entrepreneurs are the need to solve that. So back to what I was saying, the macro issues, you know, I see a key risk being, you know, the political situation that, you know, some of the challenges we are facing, they're becoming more and more bigger. And you ask yourself at what point they get addressed. I mean, the unemployment challenges that you speak about, and those have the ability to cause unrest. And so, and when that happens, then you can't be able to do some of the things that you want to do, right? So we need a bit of time. So for me, it's more the map of the political perspective, the regulation, the regulatory related aspect. Because once you solve that and you have time, then you'll be able to address these other things step by step.
Gotcha. And Stephen, I know that you probably have a lot of potential investments that come across your radar screen, and you're probably, you are very tuned in to what is happening for startups across Africa at different stages. Is there one that particularly excites you right now? What is the one that you're thinking about as you're falling asleep at night that you're like, oh man, that's a really good idea. That's compelling and it captivates a lot of your attention. Tell us a little bit about an example there.
Oof, that's a difficult one, I have to say, because
yeah,
I get
excited about children equally, right? You love.
Yeah, I get excited about so many startups. But one startup that as an angel network we participated in last year that I think, I mean, for me was fascinating. There's a startup from Egypt that came into Kenya called Rology. It's a health tech startup. And what they're doing is that if you imagine your radiology department and imagine the challenges that exist there, you know, you go take a CT scan, an X-ray, the report takes a bit of time. If you imagine that you make the radiology almost software as a service where you come in, you have a system, the image is taken, it's uploaded, the report comes back within a very short amount of time, and you know, you get treated as fast as possible. So they're trying to address this challenge across the continent. And what they've done in Kenya is that the ratio we have of radiologists to the population is quite low. And so you do need to have many more radiologists trained, and that's one way of sorting it. Or the other way is just using a platform that then, you know, has radiologists from across the continent. And, you know, you just send your image at the hospital, they're able to get someone to review that. And then, you know, you get your results almost immediately. which helps a lot the hospital in this case, because they don't have to incur the extra cost, and or you know, it doesn't take as long. It helps the patient a lot, because if they have a challenge, that challenge is going to get addressed as soon as possible. So, I mean, I like Robert. I wouldn't say that they're the most exciting startup, but they're one of the ones I really like what they're trying to do and the kind of scale they're looking at from a continental perspective.
Yeah, that sounds really, really cool. Are there any other, like, I would say, themes or sectors that you think are very exciting at the moment?
What's exciting me at the moment is actually Web3 and AI startups. it's a field that I don't understand really well, I have to be honest. But it's one that I want to get into, because I think there's a lot to get out of that. I mean, I use ChatGPT and I see how revolutionary it is and the kind of challenges it's solving. I've made a few crypto investments, and you think about crypto and what it could do for government services, typical land department or company registry, where there are lots of inefficiencies. So for me, that excites me a lot. It's not a space that I'm very cognizant with, but it's one that I think offers a lot of promise for the continent. So I want to get into that.
Stephen, if you were to give a piece of advice to the younger generation or a younger version of yourself, what would it be?
That's a good one. I'm already young.
Daughters.
But if I was to give advice, what would that be? I think the advice I'll give is just to believe that it's doable in spite of all the challenges that you see around yourself. Because I believe there's lots of people of goodwill across the continent who are willing to support someone who's willing to address a serious challenge in the continent. And so in spite of all the things you read in the media, which at times are not very positive, or all the stuff you sort of like hear happening across the continent, that's not the full reality. Actually, there's another reality where, there's individuals who are really keen to just sit, listen to what you're doing and say, hey, I'm going to connect you to this person. I'm going to invest a small amount just to see how this works, or I'm going to spend some time to do 1, 2, 3. And they do exist. So it's just to, keep the faith and, try to address those challenges, because if you're trying to do something that's worthwhile, there's people who are willing to walk the journey with you.
That's awesome. Stephen, on our side, thank you for joining us. I'm sure there'll be tons of people wanting to follow you, follow your progress. Where can they do that?
So on Twitter, you can find me on Stephen Google, which is PH, Stephen with a PH. And on LinkedIn also, Stephen Google. Those are the two mediums I use. So if you like to, you can check out those two. I try to blog every so often, but those I also post in the two mediums, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Wonderful. And Stephen, another question to just go back a little bit, but what are the implications of rising cost of capital on the startup ecosystem that you're seeing so far? Is it starting to have an impact?
Yes, it is. We've seen a bit of a funding slowdown. I haven't seen the latest statistics for the last quarter, but at least at the close of last year, the numbers had started cooling off. And I mean, the implication for practically for you as an entrepreneur is that funding rounds are taking much longer. So you need to be a bit patient and plan your funding round very early. From a terms perspective, I think things are swinging towards the investor side in terms of who has more power from from a deal, from a negotiation perspective, more leverage. I'm going to use that's a better word, leverage. So you have to be a bit humble as an entrepreneur when you're going to sort of like have conversation with investors. Of course, you have really good traction speaks for itself, but we've gotten to a point where I feel everything, not everything, but there's a lot of leverage with entrepreneurs, so that has started shifting towards investors. Valuations have certainly cooled down, so you're having to justify your valuation much more now when you're speaking to investors. But the reality is, if you have the right kind of traction, that your company is growing, you have a decent team, you're addressing a problem that is big enough, people are willing to listen, people are willing to make investments, because deals are still happening.
Got it. And then another somewhat technical VC question, but we haven't really lived through an era in which you have lots of down rounds that happen. At least, you know, they don't get reported on in the same way that up rounds are reported on. What happens to the ecosystem if we start getting news articles about down rounds? Like, how does that change the interest of people, you know, getting involved? Because I know with the African Angel Academy, you're trying to bring more people into the fold. And so if people start reading headlines that there's a down round for this guy, a down round for this lady, do you see that as being a big headwind that might?
Actually, I don't think so. Okay, first of all, you know, there is a phrase that was used in one of the sessions we had for the Africa Indian Academy, that what's happening is that we're correcting course, we're coming back to reality, because some of the, you know, some of the rounds that were being done, we looked at some of the deals in our angel network where you'd find a startup, they've just sort of like, started out, their ARR is nothing to really write home about. You look at it and especially in fintech, some of the valuation, $10 million just to start out, whereas an angel network, we just hit back from those deals. But now you're having a bit more reasonable conversations. So first of all, I don't think that, you know, the downturns we're talking about is not like, there's a lot of value that had been created, or the valuations were very realistic and now we're going to a lower valuation. I think there's some valuations that are already unrealistic and they're coming back to reality.
Okay. Right?
That's one point. And then I guess the other thing, for down rounds, of course, they're not good if you're the entrepreneur, if you're the investor who participated in that previous round. And there's ways of protecting yourself, of course, from that down round if you're the investor in this case. But, you know, the reason I say that I don't think it's a bad, it's really a bad thing, is if really we're talking about going back to what reality is, if anything, it sets you forward for, I guess, a better round, the next round you go out to raise money. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is you don't raise money at the end of the day. And then maybe the other angle I would take this from is just for angels, and this is something we speak a lot at the Africa Angel Academy, is, you know, don't get into the FOMO bandwagon, fear of missing out on deals. If it doesn't make sense, you know, stay out and just wait. We had a leading angel investor attend one of our events at the Africa Angel Academy, and they said in the whole of 2021, they didn't do a single deal. Yeah. And that's because they felt that the market was just overheated. And now, so like 2022, you know, they're back. They're much more attractive deals that are coming through. And now they're back in the market, so to say. So, That would be my take, that number one, you know, the market's already overheated, so we're coming back to reality. There's ways to protect yourself from a down round if you're an investor. You know, at the end of the day, you know, the option is you die or you keep moving as an entrepreneur. So I think you have to take a hit, I guess, to be able to move forward.
And now with your entrepreneur hat, what are you telling your founders and your portfolio companies? What advice are you giving them in this new, more challenging environment?
I'm telling them to start thinking about sustainability as early as possible, because the best hand of funding at the end of the day is funding from your customer.
Yeah.
Because your customer keeps coming back, right?
Yeah.
So I'm telling, you know, first of all, just think about being sustainable. So think about your cost structure. Think about, you know, generating as much from the customers. I'm trying to be realistic when I go into the market, and, you know, don't, you know, just be realistic. Let me just finish that. Be realistic, because it helps your chances when you're going out there to raise funds. I'm trying to be patient and to be persevering, to have a lot of perseverance, because they're going to need that when they go to the fund there to raise funding.
Cool. Stephen, thank you so much for your time. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for the invite, I hope that's been of some value, and all the best.